times. I won't go to all those verses today. I will make reference to them. But I want to direct your attention primarily to chapter 7 of the book of Revelation. Chapter 7 of the book of Revelation. But we will look at some other verses of Scripture before we get there. And we'll start at Psalms 26. Now, Thanksgiving is really a religious holiday. It was designated as a religious holiday, a day of worship, praise, thanksgiving to the Lord, by our government many years ago. It allegedly has its roots, and I don't doubt that one bit, but it has its roots within the founding of our nation when the pilgrims, after having gone through a previous winter of almost starving to death, dying, some of them, from starvation, the Lord and His divine providence sent an Indian man, and the name of that Indian man right at the moment skips my mind. I'm sure some of you homeschoolers could bring it, give it to me. Squanto, yes, that's right. Good, thank you, Brother Will. And his background and his divine providence of how it was that God preserved his life and gave him knowledge of the English language is amazing. And I won't go into all those details, but he became friends to those pilgrims, showed them how to plant, what to plant, and helped them survive or gather in food for the summer for the coming winter. And so in thanksgiving for God's good providence to them, they had a feast, invited some of the Indians to come, and they had a time of praise unto the Lord. Well, it's appropriate that we give thanks to the Lord. Psalms 26 and verse 7. David, writing, of course, in this psalm, says in verse 7, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell all thy wondrous works. In this psalm, he talks about the Lord's goodness and the Lord's mercies. I'll not read the psalm because I just wanted to get that one verse from us. He says, I will publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Just for a few moments in your mind, briefly, go over all the many blessings God has blessed you with this past week. Now forget about all the bad news. Forget about all the news about the elections. Forget about all the news about the coronavirus. God, if you're alive today, I'm not speaking to the physical dead, I know, but if you are physically alive today, you are alive because of God's mercies. You may not be aware of it, but because of God's mercies. I forget the exact count of how many people have died this so far because of the results of this coronavirus. It keeps going up, of course. But if you have not been smitten, if you've been spared, or if you've survived the coronavirus, you have much to be thankful for today. By God's grace and mercy, I feel good today. I was exposed to the coronavirus this past Tuesday. Brother David Lawrence and I, we went to a preacher's meeting and found out later that one of the preachers there tested positive for the coronavirus. I did shake hands with the man. I didn't embrace him, and we didn't give each other a brotherly or holy kiss. And most of the time I was at least 4 to 6 feet from him. And we were wearing masks various times throughout the service. So there were certain precautions being taken. I don't object to people taking those precautions. We here and have at our church, we have a means whereby we can check your temperature if you want to check your temperature. We have hand wash. If you want to wash your hands with soap and water, we have that. We have also a disinfect. That you can do that. We have masks that you can put masks on. Whatever you want to do, and we have room sufficient that You can sit 6 feet apart if you want to do those things. That's not to be ignored. The virus is very real. But in spite of all that you will do, unless God is pleased to keep you from getting the virus, if it's His will for you to do so, you will get the virus. And if it's God's will for you to die by the virus, you will die by it. My brother, my younger brother and his wife, a few months ago, maybe a month ago, they both came down with the virus. Thank the Lord, they have survived and seem to be very well now. Well, we hear of other people who have survived the virus. It is fatal to some, not to all, but by the will of God. But there are other things to be thankful for today. You know, I have two legs. They don't move as fast as they used to many years ago, but they walk. I can walk and move about. Two hands, two arms, two eyes that function fairly well. I thank the Lord for the good health He's blessed my wife and I both with. One of the things I'm very thankful for is for my wife. We have 61 years plus marriage, and every day I thank the Lord for her. She's the best wife I've ever had, and I'm thankful for my wife. She is a blessing from the Lord to me. Thank the Lord for my family, for the children God's blessed us with. God blessed us with five children, four girls and a son. Of course, our congregation here knows that two of those daughters are with the Lord now. And there are some here in our congregation. Brother Roger was married to one of our daughters. Brother Stacy was married to the other daughter. But they're with the Lord, and we grieve over our loss, but we're thankful for the testimony that they left behind and the witness of God's grace. Thankful for the years we had then. Thankful for all the grandchildren I have. The Lord has blessed my wife and I for 21 grandchildren, I believe, and I think great-grandchildren. What is it now? Why? 13? 13 coming up. Well, it's still growing. Thank the Lord for all the enlarged, expanded family that God's blessed me with. My brother, who was visiting with his family in Philadelphia yesterday, we had a video conversation, and I was able to talk with my brother and some of his family, nephews and his grandchildren that I hadn't seen for several years, and all of those means whereby that God bestows those various kinds of blessings upon you. I wonder how many of you know what today is in history. One significant event that happened in history several years ago. Most of you here, except for maybe Brother Roger, was not alive. November the 22nd, 1963, Lee Harvey Oswald shot, allegedly, the President of the United States, John F. Kennedy. I remember exactly where I was and what I was doing when the news came to me. I was working for a company, Union Carbide, and another man and I were working way out in the field all by ourselves that particular day, doing some pipe work. I was a pipe fitter. And I can still see in my mind my foreman as he came driving his pickup truck at a fast speed, bouncing along across a dirt road and dust just rolling up. And I knew there was something very important going on. We didn't have any radio with us, and we didn't know anything about what had happened. And he pulled up in his pickup and jumped out of his truck and came running up to us, and he said, "They've killed our president." Well, the very declaration of that brought shock to us. What does all that mean? They have killed our president. Now, I don't know. I've never been satisfied with what the investigation and about the assassination. Allegedly, Lee Harvey Oswald was the only man that did the shooting. I'll leave that for historians to determine. But I do remember where we were at, my wife and I, on a Sunday afternoon, and we saw a man by the name of Ruby shoot Lee Harvey Oswald. We saw that on television. So I remember all those events. But the thing of it is, our whole nation at that time was in shock, and our whole nation was in mourning. J.F. Kennedy was a very popular president, especially among the younger generation. And he was probably going to be reelected in his second term. And so flags were flown at half mast all across our nation. And that Thanksgiving was somewhat of a gloomy Thanksgiving. I remember those days very well. Well, I'm sure that all of you have got some sad things that have happened in your life throughout your years. And maybe there's some sad memories that you have. But that's not what we are talking about this morning. What we should be mindful of is of God's mercies, as the song that we sang, of the Lord's faithfulness, and morning by morning new mercies we experience. You know, I believe that bad news comes from the devil. Now you think about what the word gospel means. The word gospel means good news. And the real good news comes to us from God. The very good news that everyone should be rejoicing in, and especially God's elect people and those who know the Lord, been born again by the Holy Spirit of God, and you've come to understand the gospel good news, what it is to you. That is from the Lord. But think about bad news. The oldest record we have of bad news being carried by anyone, I believe, is in the book of Job. And when you read in the book of Job, there was always one person who spared, and he would come to Job and give him the bad news. I don't know about Job exactly, but I just imagine he hated to see the door open coming into his house. Who else has got some bad news to come to me? Even when his so-called comforters came, they did not come with encouraging news. They were bad news for Job. Well, there's always those who are wanting to spread bad news. And the news media today is just full of bad news. You don't hear any good news from the media. Now, you may hear some good news if you're listening to a Christian radio station, but from the news media, the major news media, not only do they publish bad news, but you also know they publish false news, news that you cannot believe. Well, so good news. The things that God has done for us, things that God has done for you individually, personally, you should be very thankful to the Lord and telling others about those good news. The Lord, for Christ's sake, has forgiven me of my sins. Isn't that good news? Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that something to share with everyone to know that you, by God's grace and God's mercy, have been saved from your sins? I thought as we sang that song a while ago, it is finished. Oh, what good news that is. It is finished. Christ Jesus on the cross of Calvary paid the debt for all the sins of all of God's elect people, and thereby he has secured our salvation. Christ did not die to try and make salvation possible, but rather he procured it. He accomplished. And when he said, "It is finished," that meant, my friend, that every one of God's elect people, every one of them, have been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, and every one of them have been declared to be justified by the finished work of Christ on the cross of Calvary. And as Paul says in Romans, the 8th chapter and verse 1, there is therefore now no more condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Period. Now the next part of that verse says, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I am told by the Greek scholars that those words were not in the original manuscripts. Now, I'll take their word for it, but it is later on in that same eighth chapter, those words are there. Allegedly, maybe, one of the copyists thought that that needed to be added. Well, it does not need to be added, because the work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary is a finished work, and therefore there is no more condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Period. Not what we must do, not additionally, but rather God has redeemed us by the precious blood of Christ. Isn't that good news? Isn't that something to be thankful for? I'll tell you, if you know anything about sin, if you know how terrible sin is and the terrible consequences of sin, the wages of sin is death, and that we all were born in sin and we were all living in sin and we all deserve death, eternal death, but God, for Christ's sake, have saved us and redeemed us. Isn't that something to be thankful for this morning? Oh, it's a wonderful thing. David writes then in the 69th Psalm, Psalm 69 and verse 30. He uses this word thanksgiving again, 69 and verse 30. I'll read for us. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. Well, that's what we've done this morning. We've sung songs that magnify the Lord. We come to worship him. And our singing has not been, to exalt the flesh. We have been singing with voices that God has given to us. Maybe not the greatest voices in the world. Now, I've got some here in our congregation. We've got some people that's got some good voices. But I don't have the greatest voice in the world. I tell people I've got a great voice. I just tear it up getting it out. Well, here David says, I will praise the Lord in Psalm. In Psalms 95, we have another reference to this worshiping in thanksgiving. This is a psalm that's very familiar, Psalms 95 and in verse 2. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. That's not just a thing for Old Testament. Paul, writing in the book of Philippians, the fourth chapter, he gives us encouragement many other times, but I'll just read a couple verses here written to us by the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. He says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. Well, that's good instructions for us. The word careful means not that we should not be careful. It means that we should not be stressed out. Be over anxious about things. Oh, I meet people all the time who are just stressed out. They're by this virus, about this election, what's going on in the world. Well, I tell you, my friends, whatever is going on in the world is going on by the will of God. And you can have great comfort and great peace in knowing that God Almighty is in control. And you have a special peace if you know that you know him. Oh, what a joy it is to be able to say, I know the Heavenly Father, the God of the universe, and that he is in control, and he is my Heavenly Father and my Redeemer. I'll tell you, that'll give you peace in the midst of any storm that you might be going through. Then Paul says to us here in verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Paul writing again in Colossians, the second chapter, and verse 7, he says to us, talking to the church of Colossae, that he says in verse 6, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. As you have been taught, established in the faith. Now, my wife, I was reading to my wife this past week a document from a certain order. We refer to them as being the Armenian Order. They published this document, so I will give the name, the Free Will Baptist. And the document that I was reading particularly talked about the security of salvation. And that document, I tell you, as I read it to my wife, it has absolutely no security, no peace, no comfort at all about one's salvation. There is absolutely nothing certain that you can know whether or not you're going to go to heaven. It is always somewhat in question. We know from experience, those people who hold to the doctrines of free willism, they don't know if they've done anything bad enough to lose their salvation, and they're not sure they're good enough to earn their salvation. Hallelujah. It doesn't depend upon what I do. My salvation has been secured by the work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. And as Paul would say, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works. No work to be performed. Isn't that a wonderful thing? And you're rooted and grounded in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, and you can be thankful that your salvation does not depend upon your works. Now then, the seventh chapter of Revelation. And I was just reading this chapter again this week, and this morning, and I'll tell you, this is such a blessed chapter to be reading. Revelation chapter 7. Now, I ask you a question this morning. Would you like to be in heaven? Well, let's read this chapter first of all. Revelation chapter 7. I'll start at verse 1. After these things. Now remember, the book of Revelation is not in a chronological order. Doesn't mean that everything's going on in an exact chronological order. There are different aspects, different perspectives of things given to us. But after these things, John writing, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth. Now, these four angels have authority and power, and they are to hold the four winds. The winds speak of storms, judgments, calamities. You remember our Lord talked about the man building a house, two men building a house, one built on sand, one built on rock, and the storms came. Well, here is these angels, and they are told that they have the authority to hold storms. No more storm for time being. For what reason? Holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. Now, this angel has that which speaks of the seal of the living God. Sometime I'm going to speak to you about this mark. Everyone is afraid about the mark and concerned about the mark of the beast. Well, I'm more concerned about the mark of God, the seal of the living God. We'll talk some about that sometime in the future. And he cried with a loud voice unto the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea. Now note that. Everything is stopping. Now, when did sin begin to take a toll on the earth? Well, it began immediately after Adam and Eve sinned, right? That's when it was, but death began to affect all creation. You don't have even rain until the flood. You don't have tornadoes until after Adam and Eve sinned. I mean, everything was in a very peaceful, tranquil situation. And I'm told by those who are authorities on these subjects that there was something what about like we would call a grain forests over the whole earth. So these angels are told to hold the storms. I believe that what's happening here is happened before creation even. Maybe even immediately after Adam and Eve sinned. You don't have to agree with me. You have the right to be wrong, but I'll go on. Saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of God in their foreheads. What I want to point out to you is that this sealing takes place prior to the calamity of sin upon the universe. And I heard the number of them which were sealed. There were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. And the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben, sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad, sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Asher, sealed 12,000. And on down, all the 12 tribes are sealed. Now, you say, well, do you believe that literally? Well, I believe the Bible means exactly what it is saying. There were 12,000 out of each tribe. If I'm right, when this takes place, even before the tribes came into existence. Now, that'll blow your mind. But remember, God chose you unto salvation before you were ever born, before your parents were ever born, before time ever began. God chose us unto salvation before time ever began. So I believe the sealing here is representative of something that God did even maybe before the foundation of the world. I know that others don't take it that way, but I'm giving my understanding now. Then I read in verse 9, after this, how long the time goes between verse 8 and 9, I don't know whether it's in 30 seconds or 30 billion years. I don't know, but it's said after this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, and kindreds, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne. And behold, the Lamb, clothed with white robes, and palms in their hands. Now, all these people are clothed with white robes, and palms in their hands, and crying with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood around about the throne and about the elders and four beasts, and all fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, now here's what we have. John saw this going on in heaven. People out of every nation under heaven, saints who died and gone on to be with the Lord, Old Testament saints, gone on to be with the Lord. Saints who had died in the first century, gone on to be with the Lord, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. That's a great multitude of people. I want to tell you what's going on in heaven right now today. That's what you just read right there. That's going on in heaven right now today. And if you want to be part of that crowd, I'll tell you, first of all, you got to know the Lord is Savior and Redeemer by God's grace. But you can do it by the Spirit of God in the house of God today. You can worship the Lord. Isn't that a wonderful thing? As it was, you can reach up and hold hands with saints going on to be with the Lord by the Spirit of God. And say thanksgiving to God. Someday we'll be reunited. Someday all of God's people will be around the throne of God. Here's what they're doing right now, folks. And one of the elders answered, said unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said to them, sir, thou knowest. He said to me, these are they which came out of the great tribulation. Now, I know how most people would take that, I know because I used to teach that the Great Tribulation was future. There's going to be a time of 3.5 years of Great Tribulation upon the earth. I know that doctrine, but I'll tell you, I don't hold to that doctrine today, but I'll tell you, every saint of God goes through Great Tribulation. For unto you is given, Paul said in Philippians, unto you it is given in behalf of Christ, not only to believe, but also to suffer. Every child of God has great tribulation to go through, unless, might be the thief on the cross, but I'll tell you, he went through some tribulation right there on the cross of Calvary. Every child of God has their own course, own path. It may not all be the same. There is a common track that all of us walk, and that is the path of tribulation and persecution. Our Lord said, if they've hated me, they will hate you also. Quit whining. The Lord promised it, and it's a mark that you're a child of God. And you ought to be thanking the Lord, because the world doesn't like you, and you don't fit in, and you're not at home in this world anymore. You know, again, I'll make reference to the assassination of John F. Kennedy. A lot of people thought the world was going to come to the, I mean, their world just collapsed almost. Many politicians were greatly distressed. There was great distress throughout the United Nations, even worldwide. And it was, you know, there was a change of political administration. Lyndon Johnson became the president instantaneously after Kennedy was declared to be dead. I remember seeing on the news his swearing in there on the plane. I mean, everyone, as it were, held their breaths. What's next? What's next? Well, you know, we're still here. America's still here. People get all out of sorts about some things. The election didn't go the exact way I wanted it to go, but I'll tell you what. I was just walking around my yard this morning thanking the Lord. I still live in America. We're still here. We still have liberty. We can go to church. I'm still healthy. I'm still alive. Oh, I feel like I'd like to go and be with the Lord, but I'm awful thankful to be alive, to meet with God's people. We have so many things to be thankful for. Oh, I don't know what tomorrow shall bring, but I'll tell you one thing, it will come no more than what God has ordained for it to come. And God is faithful with every trial and every temptation, provide a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. And the Lord has promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's His. I was reading the other morning, our morning devotions at the table, I was reading the 23rd Psalm. We don't often read that Psalm, except usually at a funeral service, but I was just reading, we read Psalms, and I was reading the 23rd Psalm. The Lord, in the Hebrew it is, the Lord, Jehovah, my shepherd is. He is my shepherd. What a wonderful thing to be thankful for, to know that the eternal, everlasting God is your shepherd. You know, some people don't have a shepherd. They don't have a shepherd. They're lost goats. Now, if you're a lost sheep, you're going to get found, and you're going to come to find out that you do have a shepherd. But if you don't, if you're not one of God's sheep, chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, the sad thing for you is you don't have a shepherd today. But if you've been chosen in Christ, you have a shepherd who loves you and died for you to redeem you from your sins. Hallelujah. Isn't that not something to be thankful for today? The Lord is my shepherd. He leadeth me. He restoreth my soul. You know, folks, Your soul is the most valuable thing you got. This old body, old bodies that we take so much care of, and I'm not condemning that, but we think is so important. This old body is temporal. You want to place that in a grave somewhere, sometime or another, if the Lord doesn't come. You're going to die. This old body is going to die from some calamity, some disease. It's going to die. But your soul is going to exist for all eternity, either in heaven or in hell. And your soul cannot be nourished by anything temporal. Remember that. Your soul cannot be nourished by anything temporal. It can be affected by temporal things, but it cannot be built up. But the Lord can. You get sick, you go to a doctor. You want to get the best doctors in the world. Yeah, nothing wrong with that. But I want to tell you, there's only one doctor with one medicine that can do anything for your soul, and that's Jesus Christ. He restoreth my soul. You ever get depressed, discouraged? The Lord will comfort you. Old Paul was on that ship, and they thought for sure they were going to sink. And old Paul was down in the hold of the boat praying, and he said, came up and he said, "Be of good cheer." Why? The Lord, the angel of the Lord whom I serve, stood beside me and told me, nobody's going to drown. We're all going to be saved. He encouraged those mariners who thought they were all going to drown. These are they who have come out of great tribulation, washed their robes, and made them white. In what? Not waters of baptism. Water didn't wash away sin. Made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He that sitteth upon the throne shall dwell among them. And they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, shall lead them on the living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. No more weeping in heaven. And what are they doing? Back to verse 12, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen." Praising God and saying thanksgiving unto our God forever and ever. Amen. Child of God, we have every reason in the world to be thankful, day by day, every hour. Oh, Lord, forgive us for complaining. Oh, Lord, forgive us for murmuring. Oh, Lord, forgive us for not thanking you for all of your blessings. Bless the Lord, David said, "Oh, my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who redeemeth thee from sin," not iniquities. You better get on the wagon of praising the Lord if you hope to go to heaven. If you have any thought that you're going to go to heaven, you better get on the wagon of praising the Lord today. Now, I say that somewhat frivolously. I mean, jokingly, you can't get on the wagon. God has to put you on, chose you in Christ before the foundation of the world. And I just thought again this morning on the way to church, I thought about, as I see people out, going about their activities. A neighbor, one of my neighbors back over from lived behind me, I heard him out mowing his yard this morning. And as I came to church, I also saw some men going to work. I know there's some people have to work on Lord's Day, but most people don't have to. Most people are going to be involved in activities of recreation. You know, what disturbs me, concerns me about Thanksgiving Day. More people concerned about who's going to win the ball game, football game on Thanksgiving Day. And what will make them happy is that their team wins. And what will make them sad is their team loses. Trivial things, temporal things, things of no real future significance. Most people will get together. What they're fussing about, you know, we can't get together, we can't eat. We can't enjoy all the food we want to. Like you've been starving for a whole year. It's a day of Thanksgiving. And the sad thing of it is that we have to be reminded to be thankful to God for his benefit. There's a song that says, count your many blessings. See what God has done. If you're a child of God, you have every reason in the world to be thanking God every day. Every breath that you breathe is God's gift to you. Every time your heart beats, it's God's gift to you. When we breathe our last breath, when it's God's time for us to go home, you won't be complaining. You won't be crying on the other side. You'll be praising God. And all tears will be wiped out from your eyes. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you here this morning hour. Oh, we want to thank you for your goodness and for your grace and your mercy that you have so freely, abundantly bestowed upon us as your people. Of all the people in the world, Lord, I have much to thank you for. You love me with an everlasting love. Chose me in Christ, sitting to the cross to die for my sins. And I can say by God's grace and God's mercy, my sins have been washed away, and there is now no condemnation whereby God holds me condemned, but I've been declared to be justified by the finished work of Christ. Lord, if there be any, anywhere of your dear children under the sound of our voice, may you cause them to rejoice in the knowledge that Christ is their Savior and their Redeemer today. May we as God's people throughout the world, Lord, be thanking God, thanking Him for His goodness, for His mercy, and for His grace, that He sent His Son to die for us. In His dear name, I pray and ask it. Amen.